players hitting the two-handed backhand drive and kind of leaning back or kind of getting taller when they hit it. I think it's probably, you know, the key component of this shot is having your front foot. So if you're a righty, that would be your right foot when you hit the two-handed backhand drive. Basically, you can think of it as your dominant foot is going to be your front foot in this situation because you are stepping into it with your right foot if you're a righty and stepping into it with your left foot if you're a lefty. That shot has to be on the ground and that knee has to be bent when you are making contact with the ball.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
All right, guys, so we are back with another episode of my show. We have different scenery today. We're at my parents' house. Long story, but there's some other stuff going on at my house. I didn't get kicked out of my house. That's not what's going on, but that's what we're doing here today. And yeah, we're just going to get straight into it. I've got just to let you guys know, I've got a big clinic tour coming up. Starting on July 16th, I'm going to be teaching clinics in the New England area for 6 days straight. So I'm going to be going to Sky Lifetime in New York City. Then I'm going to be going and teaching at Montclair Pickleball in New Jersey with the Pickleball Clinic guys. Super excited about that one. And we're going to be going to other places in New England. I'm forgetting. Massachusetts, KCM, Kingsbury Club in Medfield. We're going to be doing a ton of clinics. So if you guys are interested in signing up for those, definitely check them out. You can pretty much just comment on here and then I'll show you how to sign up for any particular one that you want to be a part of. But we are now going to talk about one of the, I would say this might be one of the more overrated shots that's been asked at my clinics. You know, I say that the fourth shot is the most underrated. I think this is the shot that everybody wants to know about. And it's, of course, an important shot. Every shot's important. But this is, you know, everybody's asking me about the two-handed backhand drive. And really, I mean, I have a two-handed backhand drive. I like to hit the two-handed backhand drive, and I think it's definitely a shot that can help you, but it's not really a shot that you need anyway. I mean, you know, Ben Johns doesn't hit a two-handed backhand drive, really. Tyson, Jada, like nobody really hits the, you know, in doubles at least. It doesn't seem to be a shot that people are winning matches with at the pro level. But we're going to talk about it because my two-handed backhand drive's pretty good, and of course the two-handed backhand drive is important for singles. By the way, just for clarification, when I said it wasn't necessary, that means doubles, because pickleball is mostly doubles. I don't even play singles, but of course a two-handed backhand drive is important for singles. So anyway, one of the main things that I've noticed about the two-handed backhand drive is that it's not about getting low or even really how low you get. Of course, you want to bend your knees to a certain degree. It's about staying low and staying the same height through contact. So one of the things I've noticed is players hitting the two-handed backhand drive and kind of leaning back or kind of getting taller when they hit it. I think it's probably, you know, the key component of this shot is having your front foot. So if you're a righty, that would be your right foot when you hit the two-handed backhand drive. Basically, you could think of it as your dominant foot is going to be your front foot in this situation because you are stepping into it with your right foot if you're a righty and stepping into it with your left foot if you're a lefty. That shot has to be on the ground and that knee has to be bent when you are making contact with the ball. So that's one of the, you know, people are kind of fading away or doing the lean back when they hit that shot, letting that front foot come off the ground. That is the last thing you want to be doing. If your front foot comes off the ground on any drive, there's a really good chance that drive is going up, right? Think about it this way. If your front foot comes off the ground, then you will be leaning back and the ball will be on its way up. That's just kind of how it works. And the most important part with the drive is that it is low, because the lower it is over the net, the harder you can hit it too, right? If it's 3 feet over the net, well, you can't hit it that hard and keep it in. If it's just an inch over the net, you can hit it pretty hard and keep it in. Not that hitting it hard is everything with the drive. I've already said it's, you don't really want to hit the drive as hard as you can, but you definitely want to hit it as low as you can. And that brings me to my next thing. People have been asking me, are there better places to miss on the drive? You know, you, of course, for example, on the serve or the return, you want to miss deep. You know, you miss 2 or 3 inches deep, not that big of a deal. But if you miss a serve in the net, then that's just silly because you're aiming, you know, you really want the serve to be a foot from the baseline. That's the best serve. With the drive, the best place to miss is in the net. This is the biggest misconception in pickleball, I'm thinking, is that when people are hitting the drive, they're trying to hit the drive deep. They want the drive to be the same as the serve, and they want the drive to be an inch from the baseline, as deep as possible. And it's a common misconception, I think, because in tennis, you're taught to hit drives, you know, or just ground strokes, for that matter, deep, which makes sense. In tennis, the deeper that the ball bounces, probably, you know, the heavier the shot is, the better the shot is. That's tennis. We don't need to talk about tennis. But in tennis, you're taught to hit the ball deep on the drive. In pickleball, it's the opposite. I actually think the shorter the drive, the more effective the drive is. And I think that the best drives are hit after a deep and hard serve. Of course, you want the serve to be deep and hard. And then after you hit that deep and hard serve, your drive is landing maybe even 4 feet behind the kitchen line, or 4 feet past the kitchen line. I think that the shorter and lower and more dipping the drive is, the more effective it is. And that's especially true at the higher levels. I think at the 3-0, 3-5 level, if you just hit a drive hard and flat, you're going to have some success. But as you get better, that's not the key to success. I think the best drives, especially at the 5-0 plus level, maybe even 4-5 plus level, are drives that are low and short. Because as that player who just returned the ball is returning and then coming forward, that drive that you hit to them, if it's landing short, is going to be going right to their feet. And that's probably the toughest shot to hit, is when you're running in, because you have to run through the return, right? You can't just, you know, stop and hit the return, which is actually something we should talk about in a second. But you can't just stop and hit the return. You got to run through the return. And as you're running through the ball and you're trying to run to that kitchen, somebody hits a drive that's maybe 5 feet or 4 feet past the kitchen line, going right to your feet when you're making contact with the ball. That's a tough shot to hit. And it's also a very easy ball to crash off of. So if you hit a good drive, your partner should be trying to crash as much as possible. So that's going to bring me to my next point. And this is kind of a funny one, because I will just tell you why, what it is. So when I'm at these clinics, I always tell people that when they're in transition, you need to stop and hit the ball. You know, not a crazy concept, not a radical concept. When you're hitting a drop, or when you're hitting a fifth or a seventh, you need to be stopping and focusing on making contact with the ball, and then moving forward if you like the ball. You don't want to be hitting the ball and just running through it as you hit it. You know, you watch some of the best players. Colin Johns is a great example of this. You're never going to see him run through a drop. He hits the drop, and he's just completely focused on hitting the drop and making the drop. And then when he sees that it's good, or a drop that he wants to come in off of, then he comes in. And at these clinics, there are players who are just running right through the drop. I think they're just in a rush to get to the kitchen line. So I would highly recommend that when you hit the drop, actually, I wouldn't recommend, this is a necessary thing. I'm not just going to recommend it. When you're hitting the drop, your feet need to be set. You need to be focused on making the drop. Your feet have to be on the ground. And while you are making contact with the ball, your feet do not want to be moving. And that should be, you know, that should mean everything coming from me, because my feet move more than anyone. And I'm telling you that when you hit a drop or any sort of transitional shot, your feet need to be still when you hit it. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, well, of course it makes sense, but think about it this way. Like if you are, let's say, playing basketball, right? And you wanted to make a, just a jump shot. Would you run through it, run forward or run backward while you hit it? Because those are the two most common issues with drops. People are either leaning back or they're running forward while they hit it. Or think about it this way. If you wanted to just throw a ball into the kitchen, you know, your life was on the line and I said, Josh, you know, you got to throw this ball into the kitchen. And if it drops in the kitchen, you're alive. If it doesn't, you die. You wouldn't just run through it while you hit it, and you definitely wouldn't lean back. You would have your feet set. You would just stay right where you are, and you would, you know, throw it into the kitchen. Exact same thing with the drop. You know, a drop or a transitional shot isn't much different from an underhand throw in the first place, and you don't want to make it harder on yourself by moving so much while you hit it. So, brings me to my final thing here. When I am hitting returns, I am running through the ball, and I try to tell people that the return is a, oh, sorry, Josh, the new computer. It's always a different computer. And this is pretty embarrassing that I don't know how to turn off notifications here. So this brings me to my final point, which is that the return is different from any shot. The return of serve, that is different from any shot in pickleball, because while you are hitting it, you must be moving through it. You have to move through the ball. So, all right, so now I'm here to talk to you guys about Selkirk backpacks. I probably shouldn't have to talk to you about them. I mean, you see them, you know, it's enough of an ad to see them at all these tournaments. I mean, it seems like everybody's got one, and I actually think they're the best. You know, I'm always begging Rob to send me more. I've got like four or five backpacks. They last so long too. I think the biggest thing about Selkirk backpacks is that they're really durable, especially with me. I mean, I'm putting as many paddles as possible in the backpacks. I've got gallons of coffee in the backpacks, sweaty shirts. I've done everything possible that you shouldn't do to a backpack, to a Selkirk backpack, and I've had it now for 2 years. So I'm a huge proponent of the Selkirk backpacks. I think the Tour Line ones especially are very good. They look cool, they look sleek. I personally like the black ones. I'm known to bring two of them on court every match. So yeah, these are just my personal opinions on the Selkirk backpacks. I also think the Team Line is good. And yeah, I think if you want one, get one, because they're gonna last you quite a while, and they also look pretty cool. And they don't necessarily just look like a pickleball backpack either. I mean, I can wear them pretty much and bring them wherever, and it doesn't really, you know, it kind of just fits in with any other backpack that you would have. So you know, I try to tell people that it's always best to have your feet set when you're hitting any shot in pickleball. And again, coming from me, that should mean a lot, except maybe when you're hitting a drive and you want to run through it and crash your own drive, or if you're, you know, trying to be super aggressive with a poach, trying to come across the ball, you know, and go hit a fifth poach or any sort of, you know, maybe an Ernie. If you're hitting an aggressive athletic shot, then okay, your feet aren't going to be set. But on the vast majority of shots in pickleball, because most of them aren't Ernie's anyway, your feet should be set, except the return of serve is different in that your feet should not be set when you hit the ball. You have to be running through that ball. And I think it's funny because I'm at these clinics and, you know, people hit the return and they'll stop and hit it and then they'll go forward and then they're late to the kitchen line and they'll say, James, well, you told me that when you're in the transition zone, you have to stop and hit the ball. You can't run through the ball. So that's true. But that's only true on the thirds and fifths. When you're returning the serve, you have to be running through it, because the most important part with the return of serve is getting up to the kitchen line as fast as you can. Of course, you want to hit a deep return of serve, but the kitchen line is precious real estate. It's there for a reason. And how do you know who's winning any given rally at any given moment? Who is closer to the kitchen line? That's really the only way to confidently say who is winning that given rally at any moment. And the returner has an advantage because they get to the kitchen line first. So when you are returning the serve, just sprint to the kitchen line. I think that as the game gets better, you'll see people just hauling it up there, getting to the kitchen line as fast as they can, because the better the drive is, or the better the drop is for that matter, the closer you want to be to the kitchen line, because the farther you are from the kitchen line, the more time that drive or that drop has to dip. And the lower that you make contact with your fourth, the worse of a position you are in. So those are the main things there. I would also say that when you're returning the serve, you want to have a wide base. That's another super, super common issue. I see people returning the serve with, you know, just standing up completely straight. And something to note, the serve is the most linear shot in pickleball. It's going from baseline to baseline, so it's not going to bounce that high. And if somebody hits a hard or a good serve, you're probably going to be taking it on the way up, which means you're going to be contacting the ball pretty low. So I would highly recommend almost being like a shortstop position when you're hitting the return. I think that's going to be definitely one of the progressions as pickleball moves forward in the next few years, people really getting low on the return of serve. It wasn't really something that was necessary and not really something that was taught 2 years ago because nobody hit the serve that hard. But now that people are hitting the serve hard, I found, especially against my serve, when I'm about to crush the serve, I see people getting very low and wide. And I've got a feeling that as the serves get better, the returns of serve will definitely be hit in a more athletic stance. There's going to be more teaching as it relates to the return of the serve, because right now people don't really teach too much about it. I would just say the main things moving forward are have a wide base, be athletic, and run through it while you hit it. Do not stop and hit the return. Okay, last thing, we're going to do a quick shout out. I actually have a clinic in Utah, so I'm super excited to go to Utah. Utah is one of the pickleball, you know, capitals of the world, if not the, well, I live in Delray Beach, Florida, so I got to say it's us, but Utah is definitely up there, and I love going to Utah, and I'm teaching a clinic in Utah in late August at the Kitchen, so I think it's going to be great. The Kitchen in Utah. It's going to be right after that PPA in Utah. And yeah, super excited about it. So if you want to sign up for that, well, reach out to them because I'm not handling signups for that one. But thanks, guys. That's all we got for today. Thanks for watching.